This is Pure Decking show number 396 for Thursday, June something. What the fuck is today? June 18th, 2020. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game. And so did that wooden fist get lit on fire yet?
I'm just pulling it up now.
Yeah. So...
If I spot it, I'll let you know.
All right, yeah. And, you know, again, I'm still waiting on those protests in the Minecraft servers where people will actually notice them. Morps, tonight we have Madman.
Hola. I'm drinking and deciding, how do you celebrate Juneteenth? It's a new holiday where I'm from, and I don't know what we're supposed to do for it.
Well, you're supposed to, I mean, it's they're celebrating the release of slaves, so obviously you should release some slaves. So you have until Juneteenth to acquire some slaves so that you can then release them.
Oh, that means I have to go to either Africa or the Middle East.
Yeah, just go to one of the autonomous zones and collect a few. I mean, they're lawless,
you're mine,
right?
Now. I don't know if you've outlawed slavery in this country. But I need you for a party.
And before anyone writes in, yes, we understand there is some audio issues in this episode. And we are fully aware and are going to push on anyway.
Oh, I know what we can do. So once I get the slave, we can beat him in the morning to celebrate his slavery. In the afternoon, we'll have a big party when I let him go. Like a barbecue and some fireworks and booze for everyone. Even the former slave guy.
And are you, will you be releasing your slaves for Juneteenth?
I am a slave, dude. I was transported to this country against my will. Thank you, motherland. Fuck the British.
Could have been picking pockets.
And the French. We don't play into any of that shit. Well, it's never been an issue, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's a good point, though. It's a good point. All this shit goes back to Britain. Why are they blaming us for it?
Well, not really. And you look at it, Britain were the first to go, you know what? Slavery's done. We're done. Now we're just going to spend hundreds of thousands of doubloons or whatever the fuck they were using back then to blockade the African slave trade. They put their work in, man. I mean, if you really go through and comb through history, the Western world's done more to end slavery than... fucking anywhere, man. All the time.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, guess granted, when Africa officially ended slavery?
Last year?
1981 is the last country to officially end it. But since they don't have very many central governments, not all of the tribes have been told this.
I was going to say, somebody might want to get a hold of some of those groups in like South Africa and let them know.
We've been enslaving each other since humans were conception. The only thing, there can be no blood guilt. That's the bit that's pissing me off. That, hey, your family, well, I'm not even American, but the blood guilt thing in America, white people own slaves, therefore all whites are guilty, you know, even today. It's been over 300 years. You can't keep clutching on to the failures of earlier people to blame your shit for your issues today. At some point, you have to go, fuck, maybe it's me who keeps fucking up. You know what I mean?
That's 300 years.
I'm probably going to be put on a fucking Antifa hit list for this, saying this shit. It fucks.
Well, I mean, it's a hell of a lot more complex issue than just, oh, racism.
Exactly. I'm not even qualified to talk about this shit. I've never owned slaves.
Who is?
Yeah, I've never studied the real history of it or dove into it, because as far as I'm concerned, it's not in these countries anymore. It's not in our countries. It's in Libya. It's in Saudi Arabia. It's for them to fucking clean up. And to keep using it as a grievance tactic is just fucking horseshit. And, like,
well,
the whole
I have my
hunting,
opinion of it, but...
hunting black dudes, that's just shit myth.
It's... Well, I'll just throw it out there. I'll just throw it out there.
Look, I don't think you should say anything about it, man, because you're in this shit right now. Like, it's up to you, man. I don't want
to
see you get
roll right past it.
I don't want the mob to come after you. You know, because at the moment, I'm looking from an outside looking in. Your country's controlled by mob rule.
Well, parts of it are right now. That's true.
It's quite frightening that they're willing to execute a police officer for doing his job just to placate the mob. And, I mean, if this officer goes ahead and is found guilty of murder and is going to be executed, I would just say, those founding documents, tear them up, start again.
Well,
you just fucked them all.
It's possible that they're overcharging him, knowing that they're not going to be able to prove that, so that he'll end up getting off. Of course, that'll just trigger a whole new round of riots.
Well, so I mean, you can't placate the mob, man. It does not work. And I mean, we were talking a couple of months ago with the ruling elite not having any issues anymore, because then no one goes to prison over this shit. I'm sorry, we can't keep glossing over this shit, because this whole lack of rule of law has gone all the way to the streets now, and now the mob has come. And now the mob's at your fucking front door. And there's a mayor right now who happily yesterday was calling the mob a peaceful little demonstration, but after her house was attacked last night, these are now urban terrorists. Oh. It's all fun and games till they come for you, isn't it, you fucking almighty cunt? Yeah, dude, I sincerely hope America goes back to rule of law, and it goes from top to bottom. You know, it's the only way. I mean, good luck.
Yeah, you're right. We need to get back to rule of law. I mean, there was, a legitimate, bad thing happened that was brought to light some legitimate problems with the system. And now all of that is drowned out because you've had other groups try to co-opt it. So.
I look at it there, when you look at the statistics, there is no significant problem with policing.
Well, there is. It's just, it's overblown for media attention. And, you've got a handful of bad cops who are making the whole system look terrible. And, are there cops with problems? Yeah. Does it need to be addressed? Absolutely.
Fucking I. But it needs to be addressed by the law, not by a fucking mob.
The protest to draw attention to it, 100% legit. Absolutely. It's part of the damn Constitution to protest.
Yo.
But, declaring autonomous zones and looting
burning
and property
down
damage
half your...
and beating people to death for disagreeing with you? No.
Looting's not in there.
Yeah. But there's definitely every country has its issues. Your country just seems its issues are being co-opted by some bad actors right now, and you got a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people from the everyone gets a ribbon generation who've got really high self-esteem, very low impulse control. That's the issue.
Well, I think we've got a lot. I think we have some groups that are trying to co-opt it for other political issues. And
well, I know.
Getting into that's going to just piss people off. So
the universities have got a lot to explain, but I think my government did a big step forward to help us with these social justice warriors and grievance warriors, is that the price of any like anything with studies in the title, you know, like Indigenous studies, women's studies. If you want a degree in that in Australian university now, you're going to have to pay 110% more for your degree than any other. They just lowered the all the STEM fields to 60% cheaper than they were. I think it's like $28,000 for a STEM now, 4 years.
Well, that's the old joke, right? You have the high school feminist out there complaining and screaming that there's not enough women in science and math fields. So she goes to college, gets her degree in gender studies, comes out complaining that there's not enough people in science and math fields. It's like, well, why didn't you get a degree in science and math while you were in college instead of gender studies or women's issues or whatever? And yeah, I mean,
it's in everything, though. And I think it comes along with, so you want to build a house. You're going to need an environmental study, an earth study. You're going to need, you know, 16 different studies before you can even break ground. And you want to hope they don't find some fucking endangered weed or wasp.
God, I hate wasps.
Yeah, I do too, but... it just seems that everything is hamstrung by just ridiculous fucking rules.
Is this the discussion topic, or would we have a different one?
Well, I was going to talk about, I do have a different one, but it's based off a news article. We can keep going with this, but I don't really want to do politics.
Yeah, I don't want to do this really, but it's, shit, it's the elephant in the room right now.
Yeah, we can acknowledge
it. You can't turn anything on. In my opinion, just it needs to stop now.
I do think it's interesting how we're getting much better information about what's going on from various live streams, YouTube channels, and you know shit like that than from the media.
Oh, man, I have seen some channels make and break in the last month, and some new ones come along that are actually really super interesting. I just want anybody who listens to this program to be very careful on what you say in chat rooms. And even logging into anything right now that is sensitive.
Oh, I think the citizen journalist is going to replace like CNN and MSNBC and Fox News here in the next few years.
Yeah.
I got no problem with that.
I mean, shit, the channels we've been watching, they've been covering it better than anything else. At least it's honest. Yeah, the people may be bad faith actors behind the camera trying to, you know, give you propaganda, but you can see right there in front of your eyes. It's not a jump cut now, ads and sports and weather.
So, anyways, let's oh, damn. Yep, well, we knew we were going to get audio issues. There it is. I just need to not get loud because then Madman yells at everybody. Let's see. So this is from Ars Technica and is hilarious. So throw the links in here. Masked arsonist might have gotten away with it if she hadn't left an Etsy review.
Ha!
To some extent, every internet user leaves a digital trail. So when a masked arsonist was seen on a video setting fire to a police car on the day of a recent protest in Philadelphia... at least they didn't say peaceful protest.
Enhanced protester.
That's the funny thing you always I've noticed lately is like everything says peaceful protest. You know, three cops murdered at peaceful protest. Wait a minute, what?
Enhanced protester sets fire to Wendy's.
Yeah. In Philadelphia. The fact that her face was hidden didn't prevent a Federal Bureau of Investigation agent from tracking down the suspect. The keys ended up being a tattoo in an Etsy review that the alleged arsonist had left for a t-shirt she was wearing at the scene of the crime, according to the FBI. I mean, this is some CSI level bullshit, right? They ID'd the t-shirt this person was wearing, found an Etsy review that she left of it, where she ordered the t-shirt from Etsy. And of course, this is somebody firebombing a cop car, ordering, you know, custom clothing off Etsy.
Yeah, because eat the rich and all, right?
Yep. Let's see. The alleged arsonist, identified by the FBI as Laura Elizabeth Blumenthal, 33. God, you're out protesting and burning cop cars and you're in your 30s?
I know, it's ridiculous,
it's
isn't it?
A kid's game. Whatever. Was wearing a mask, goggles, fire-resistant gloves, and a t-shirt with the slogan, "Keep the immigrants, deport the racists," when her crime was captured live on aerial news feed from a helicopter. FBI Special Agent Joseph Carpenter wrote in an affidavit filed Monday with the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Pennsylvania. After an investigation, she was arrested and charged with arson of two police vehicles. She appeared in federal court on Tuesday, and the government said it will be filing a motion for the defendant to be detained pending trial. In the news video, the police sedan was already engulfed in flames, when the suspect entered from the top of the frame and removed a flaming piece of a wooden police barricade from the rear window of the sedan that was already on fire, then shoved the flaming wood into the SUV that was not on fire. Within minutes of that, the SUV was then completely engulfed in flames. This happened on May the 30th after a protest over the death of George Floyd. The affidavit says, while the protest earlier in the day was peaceful, violence erupted later on in the day, including arson of police cars. More footage.
Did you say peaceful violence?
It was peaceful, then it became violent.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I misheard. I was like, there's been a lot of doublespeak lately.
Yeah, well, no, fair enough.
Just had to call you.
More footage of the arson came in a video posted on Vimeo that clearly... Is Vimeo still a thing? Huh.
Yeah, yeah.
On Vimeo that clearly depicts the same female subject removing a flaming piece of wooden barricade from a marked Philadelphia Police Department sedan and shoving it through the window of the marked SUV. An Instagram user had also posted a photo that showed the female subject moving away from the sedan after it's on fire and shows her backpack. The owner of the Instagram account provided more photos he had taken to the FBI, and another amateur photographer provided about 500 pictures taken that day in Philadelphia. Even with the video and photos, the FBI wasn't yet able to identify the suspect because her face was invisible. But the t-shirt she wore was unique and sold on Etsy. So FBI agents read the reviews on the seller's Etsy page to see if anybody from the Philadelphia area had purchased it. Blumenthal had left a 5-star review saying, "Fast shipping, thanks very much," from her username, AllieCatLore. And her Etsy profile depicted her location as Philadelphia, the affidavit said. The FBI did not yet have her full name, so they searched for AllieCatLore and found a user in the online fashion marketplace Poshmark with a display name of Lore Elizabeth. The affidavit said, a search for Lore Elizabeth in Philadelphia turned up a LinkedIn profile for an individual matching the name Lore Elizabeth, who appears to be employed as a massage therapist with a company that provides massage therapy services. Pictures of an
alleged... Would you like a happy ending or a Molotov cocktail?
We'll try the sad ending this time.
And so this step by step almost seems like weaponized autism provided by a unique hacker. If you know what I mean. Are you following my drift?
Well, you know, they make vans explode, so why not?
The FBI doesn't do this. Not like this. This sounds like it's a wrapped up, delivered, thank you very much for coming. We'll arrest that person. I would have got away for it if it wasn't for you.
We'd now
autistic.
Like to call special witness Paul.
Yeah. With the hacker 4chan, please. Yeah.
I think some of them have jobs now with the FBI.
Seems like it'd be a good way to get started. I mean, if I was in the FBI, I'd be recruiting this weaponized autism.
I mean, they track down "They Will Not Divide Us" in the middle of a field in Indiana, yes, the FBI showed up with a recruiting table.
It's like, there's a lot
it's
of...
Like, it's like, no, no, we don't just want you to work for us. We want you to train people.
There's a lot of people going around trying to identify certain looters and people who beat people up, knock them in. I think the Black Lives Matter Philadelphia wanted the tip line shut down because too many people were tipping off who was setting fire to shit. So.
Well, I mean, they want the police defunded so they don't get arrested. So, I mean, what?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of police reform. If you want police to be less assholes, one, they need to be trained to be less assholes. But that also leads to we need community reform.
Yeah.
If you have a community of snitches get stitches, then for the cops to catch the dudes, they're going to be more aggressive. Communities cooperate, cops get less aggressive. Problem solved.
Well, it proves that they've got community support, see?
Yeah. Pictures of the alleged arsonist showed a tattoo of a peace sign on her right forearm, and that tattoo was visible in a four-year-old video of Laura Elizabeth performing a massage on her business's website. Website had a phone number for Laura Elizabeth, and Carpenter said the FBI used the Department of Homeland Security's electronic system for travel authorization to confirm that the number is associated with Laura Blumenthal. Yeah, because once you have the phone number, that's kind of it, right? And the address of West Duval Street in Pennsylvania, or in Philadelphia. A further search of Pennsylvania Department of Motor Vehicle Records found DMV photo of her, along with her address and date of birth. The FBI subsequently obtained records from the Etsy store owner via a subpoena. The records confirmed that this user did purchase two T-shirts reading "Keep the Immigrants, Deport the Racists" on March 10th, 2020. The affidavit said one of the purchased T-shirts was the same light blue color, or light blue color seen in the video of the arson.
I hope that her other arm has "Born to Kill" tattooed on it.
Probably not. Yeah, and the shirts have been shipped to the same West Duval Street address connected to Blumenthal. Search the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation records identified a car registered to Blumenthal at the same address. The FBI agents conducted a surveillance of the address and saw the car parked and unoccupied at and near that location. From Laura Blumenthal's Etsy review of a T-shirt, her profiles on Poshmark and LinkedIn, and the tattoo visible on a video posted to her massage therapy website, the FBI found the details they needed to match the arsonist seen in the photo and video to government records, the affidavit said. Blumenthal, who is charged with two counts of knowingly causing malicious destruction, is in federal custody. The federal charges were lodged because the Philly police received funding from the U.S. government, Penn Live reported. If convicted, the defendant faces a maximum possible sentence of 80 years in prison, followed by 3 years of supervised release and a fine of up to $500,000.
Okay, that's over criminalization.
I don't know, man.
I could see a couple years in prison and maybe the fine of the car, but 18 years... There are murder sentences that are 18 years.
80 years, man. 80 years? Yeah.
80 is way too much. No, that's... Don't get me wrong. I think she should be publicly flogged, her account seized, and, you know, completely shamed. But 80 years?
Yeah, you don't take that much of her life. Bring back the stocks instead of prison.
I mean, a couple of years and maybe the price of the car... And then probation for a year or two. But that's too much time.
Well, I think you're right. I don't think they're gonna go for the max because of the event and everything going on. She'll probably get a slap on the wrist, truth be told. But I mean
there's gotta be something between the two. She needs more than a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
She's a fucking rider burning down cop cars. There's very little justification for shit like that. But it is sad that we live in a country where, what is that car worth? $60,000, maybe? That's even guessing high. They have to do some customizations of these things.
Well, they got a bunch of equipment in them, too.
Going to take 80 years of someone's life for that? No, it's property damage.
If she thought about it and would have gone, well, maybe I shouldn't do that because I could do 80 years in prison. See, what you do is you hold this woman up. You go, look, you put her on nightly news, front and center, every fucking channel. This woman is doing 80 years in prison because she burnt city property.
The only way that works is if it's consistently applied across the board, and I don't know if they're going to get that many looters 80 years.
Sometimes your only purpose in life is to serve as an example to others.
Yeah, and I mean, dude pointed out to all these kids coming up, you know, look, this person got 80 years for burning shit down. Maybe think twice before you burn shit down. You can have a grievance with something, but you got no fucking... they throw the book at you if you start burning shit down. You start assaulting police. Sorry, fuck you. Go to prison. Because if they don't go to prison for that, well, fuck it. Why have the rule? Burn shit whenever you feel like it. Had a bad day at work? Burn a cop car on the way home. You know, your ramen was a little too fucking cold at lunch? Punch an old lady. Because you just can't control yourself. There's got to be firm, hard fucking rules. And it needs to be applied across the board, rich and poor.
I just thought the trail that they followed to figure out who the hell she was interesting.
Yeah, that's what you get for buying custom t-shirts. She'd have been off the rack at Walmart. You'd have been fine.
I mean, is the FBI hiring the hacker 4chan now? Because that seems like the steps they would have taken.
It may be the steps they would have taken, but cops have been using social media for a while. I mean, they're not stupid.
I think if you ever do get some sort of resemblance of law again, a lot of these people are going to be hit with rioting charges when they get picked up for other minor offenses now. Oh, and by the way, we just got you on video here, burning a police car. That's 80 years.
And you also still get the speeding ticket. Sorry.
There you go, yeah. I was going to let you off with a warning, but you burn a police car, 80 years.
I mean, you know, we already had a prison population problem. Shit.
Can you broadcast the sentencing, have these people all lined up? First dude comes up, 80 years. Gavel comes down, bang, fuck, you're off. And then film the expression on every one of these motherfuckers' faces. As they come up, the judge goes, 80 years, fucking smack. And the next one. And you watch them start fucking sobbing. These hardcore motherfuckers running around and saying, fuck the police and shit, burning stuff down, will be crying like little bitches after the first five people are given 80 fucking years for burning shit. You televise that, there will never be another fucking burnt police car. At least for two generations anyway. Because everyone will go, did you watch that shit when they got sentenced to 80 years? Holy shit. See that big dude crying? Holy fuck, now he's doing 80 years. Because he couldn't control himself.
Bring back the chain gang. Make him financially viable.
Yes. Well, this shit is out of control.
Matt, you need to do some reading on how private prisons operate. They're profitable. That's a different conversation, though.
I'm really fucking super serious about this. Because this shit is just going to get out of control until... And you know what the problem is? People are going to beg for a firm fucking hand. And this is when you get the pendulum. This is where you get the dude like me who gets elected, who starts going fucking right, 80 years. 80 years. Death penalty. 80 years. Death penalty. And next thing, you're living under a fucking tyrant.
Some people say that's how Nixon won 49 states.
And that's how you end up with
the
tyrants.
Riots in the 60s.
Yeah, and you'll end up with what you get. A fucking tyrant. And then we'll be back to fighting the fucking establishment. We can restart fucking the bands again, like Rage Against the Machine and shit, and have the 90s all over again. It'll be fucking great.
We can go a bit further back, dude. The 90s... No, go back to punk rock and then move into the grunge and shit.
You want to have the 70s and the 80s and the 90s again? Let's fucking do it. 30 years of awesomeness.
Well, at least if you're going with musical genres, then yeah.
Is this where we make the joke that history doesn't repeat, but it does rhyme?
Yeah, instead of the Sex Pistols, you have the Boner Pistols.
It's like, oh, we run from the fucking, from the tyranny of government to the tyranny of tech. Jesus Christ, you people are fucking stupid. You know what? And maybe it will take someone who's just going to sit there and go, right, 80 years, death penalty, 80 years, death penalty, until we get some normality back. Sorry, I got a little ranty there.
No, you're fine. I mean, the thing is, you're not wrong. Is that's what's going to have to happen, because otherwise... You are going to keep having incidents like that. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where people are literally claiming areas of cities and saying, this is an autonomous zone now. Fuck you. you know. And
so what do we do with those, with the insurrection laws? We've got the laws on the books. Do we have anyone with the stones big enough to fucking use them? Because the first one that stands up and goes, I'm willing to do this. I will take this for the team. I will be your champion. I will be your fucking shield for the cops. I will eat the shit the media will throw at me. Once you get that guy, then it doesn't stop.
Have we updated the treason laws? Isn't it still firing squad? I mean,
I hope so.
I mean, because that's basically what these, you know, if you're truly trying to say that, oh, Chaz or whatever the hell they're calling it this week.
It's called CHOP now.
That's why they got rid of Chaz, is they wanted to step back from full insurrection. They're no longer an autonomous zone.
Oh, what are they now?
Whatever CHOP stands for.
Yeah.
They realize that if we keep calling ourselves an autonomous zone, we're not getting our food stamps or Social Security.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know what happened the last time? Do you know what happened the last time areas of the United States decided they were no longer part of the United States? It wasn't pretty.
And we kind of made a march to the sea, and a lot of stuff caught on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I don't think we ought to be repeating that, especially when I've seen the live streams. Most of the kids in there have no idea how to handle a rifle. I mean,
you nailed it on the head, kids. And I do mean children up to the age of 40.
They should not be children. At 26, childhood ends, if not before that. I mean, I had a full-time job and was taking care of my own insurance at 18.
And moved out at 16. And rent. Yeah, man, all power to the FBI for doing that. And, yeah, I think there's people going to end up like, oh, that was just a misdemeanor. And, yeah, here comes the charges from the 2020 summer. I know it's 2022, but we've just come across you.
Oh.
80 years.
You know, this is where we're going to come back to. Everybody who started using their real name on Facebook and Twitter and shit like that is really going to regret it.
That's not just Facebook. They checked this chick through customs t-shirt purchasing.
I know, but I mean, you know, LinkedIn, all this stuff where it's all based on your real name. Back in the early days of the internet, you know, everybody used pseudonyms. Everybody used pseudonyms. We do it now out of habit, but I mean, most people don't use screen names except for like on Xbox Live and shit. But even then, you know, what you do, you Google their screen name, you're going to find their Facebook profile or whatever because they've put it on there. It's like, oh, yeah, here's my Xbox profile, you know, XXX, Super Sniper, Big Dick, XXX, whatever the hell it is. And it's like, oh, look, they're 11. I mean, you know.
Just doxed yourself, Morps, on Xbox.
Some poor 12-year-old's going to be sitting there playing Call of Duty and start getting spam from people saying, hey, Morps, is that you? It's like, I don't understand. What's going on?
Here's a story for decking.
Man. I heard you're always right, faggot. Well, dude, it's Xbox. You've got to preference everything with faggot.
Oh, that and teabagging your mom's corpse.
That got dark.
It's Xbox. Have you ever played Call of Duty on Xbox?
No. I've heard audio from it.
Madman, the last Xbox I owned was actually called Xbox. And we hacked it to run Nintendo games.
I still have my version of that Xbox. It's so much fun. It plays the original Doom and Duke Nukem. Oh, and the Duke Nukem has a porno in it. I was very disturbed when I discovered that.
Were you letting your nieces play it or something?
Oh, God, no. I was playing and I'm like, what the hell is that on the... Oh, it's pixelated. Bukkake.
Madman, you never played Duke Nukem back in the day?
I didn't play it where there was a porno playing on the screen.
Yeah, technically that Xbox version is like the HD pack, and they decided to enhance some of the photos.
Yeah. So that actually got me eaten because I was shocked. But the next time I came through, I was prepared and everything died.
So note to potential alien invaders out there, if you're fighting Madman, just throw some porn at him. He'll be distracted long enough for you to win.
No, I expect porn in real life. I didn't expect porn in an Xbox game.
That'd be kind of a funny way to deal with the autonomous zones. Show up with a trebuchet, fill it up with old Playboys and shit. Just, you know, over the barricade.
It's like, God, I wouldn't want to waste that much money.
It's like, what are you doing? Sir, what are you doing? Littering. At an industrial scale.
We will blot out the sun with Playboys. Only problem getting physical copies of Playboy now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Went defunct like, what, 2 years ago?
Have to get a whole bunch of old Android tablets and just load up Pornhub or whatever. That's not
next story.
Yeah, that's not nearly as funny. Next article is from 9to5 Mac. Zoom does a 180 on encryption plans and will bring it to all users, including free accounts, in July. In other words, they've finally gotten their head caved in enough times to like, okay, we give. video conferencing service Zoom has been quite the roller coaster ride over the last several months, marked by serious flaws, misleading encryption claims, and massive user growth. Now, after previously planning to keep end-to-end encryption as just a feature for paying customers, the company has reversed course and says free users will see it arrive in a beta coming in July alongside paid accounts. When Zoom first announced that end-to-end encryption wouldn't be arriving for free users, it caused it used the weak excuse of wanting to prevent illegal use while paying for an account would enable illegal use. In a turnaround, Zoom detailed today's news, E2EE, or end-to-end encryption, for its video calls in a blog post. Zoom shared where its work stands on GitHub, announced that end-to-end encryption will come to all of our users around the globe, free and paid, and it will become an optional advanced add-on. So you still have to go in and turn it on. But they are at least bringing the option in July. So, looks like they're going to use AES 256 GCM transport encryption, so it's standard SSL, but I mean, it's still pretty good. And encryption will be an optional feature, and it limits some meeting functionality, such as the ability to include traditional phone lines or SIP calls. Hardware conferencing system hosts will toggle E2E on and off on a per-meeting basis. Oh, geez. They have to remember to go turn it on for each and every meeting. It's almost like they don't want you to use it.
Well, they have to make money on something, and I thought that was a feature they were making money on. I can understand the free shit being somewhat stripped down because they are a company attempting to make a profit.
Sure.
So here's a taste. If you want the good shit, give me $10. And I know that's a gross understatement for what they want for business licensing, but still. You pay for the good shit.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I understand that. Yeah, I don't disagree with the idea of end-to-end encryption being only for, you know, paid. I get it. Like, yeah, I don't necessarily think that it was the worst thing in the world to say, oh, free users don't get that. But it was a weird one for them to plant the hill on, right?
And yeah, they could pick, you know, other features, like limit the number of people in the free version.
I think that would do a much better job of selling the service than anything, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's like you can have 5 people. If you're going for business conference calls, the shit ton of the ones I'm in are a lot more than 5 people.
Yeah, I know that.
Like all of them are there. It's like all the people are here. Maybe 5 of them are useful, but everyone still gets to sit in because you have to.
Didn't Skype do that for a long time? If you wanted more than like 5 people on a call, you had to have the paid version? Or somebody had to have the paid version?
I think that was one of the things they did.
Yeah.
After they went to centralized service.
Yeah, after Microsoft bought them. I mean, we kind of quit using it after that, but I don't know. It's just interesting because it's like, you know, they basically got browbeat into just saying, fine, even the free version gets it. But, having to turn it on for each and every call is going to get tedious really quick.
Well, that'll be an option that you don't have to do in the paid version.
Yeah, probably.
But you still get the security of encryption with the free. So they get their little PR, and they still effectively, for most people, aren't encrypting their calls.
Gotta imagine they're feeding that in some kind of a voice to text system so that they can archive it, do some kind of mass searches on it. Because you know that nobody wants to sit there and listen to all of that all the time. You think about there's going to be a handful of interesting meetings, but you think about the inanity of most business meetings. I mean, I've been on several calls where we spent an hour deciding that, yes, we should make a plan to execute. And, you know, it's like when you finally realize after the hour of arguing with people that that was the decision, that, yeah, we should make a plan. Oh, my God.
Not what the plan was or any part of the plan.
No, just that we should use a plan and not just, you know, have somebody, you know, put in a ticket and have somebody do it. No, we need a plan, a strategy. Oh, my God, you're serious.
You should not have had a call for that. Whichever department the problem is originating in shouldn't call you until they have a plan, and then you're just consulting, does this work with everyone that's going to be using this system? If it doesn't, tell me what's wrong, and we'll see about fixing your problem. You adjust the plan. You don't have a conference call, or at least a multi-department conference call, wanting to know about a fucking plan.
Well, I didn't realize, you know, it's one of these things where it's like at the very beginning of the call, it's like, yes, we're going to need a plan. And it's like, why was that even a question? And then after the hours of an hour long discussion, they finally say the outcome of the meeting, you know, they send out the meeting notes and the outcome was, we need a plan. For fuck's sake. But yeah, I can only imagine. You know, if you're the poor asshole who has to sit there and listen to Zoom meetings randomly, I mean, the kind of inanity and the kind of bullshit that you got to be coming across. Although, there were scripts out there to try to guess Zoom meeting, numbers for the free one so people could just, you know, Zoom bomb, come into unpassworded calls. So I imagine you could sit there and do that without... You know, working for Zoom.
At this point, it's fun for everyone.
Yep. All right, next story. This one, RU sent me earlier in the week. It's from the BBC. Make a note here in the show notes. I just realized I forgot to put that in there. GitHub abandons the master term to avoid slavery. A little late. The world's biggest site for software developers is abandoning decades-old coding terms to remove references to slavery. GitHub Chief Executive Nat Friedman said that the firm is working on changing the term master for various versions of code to a neutral term. The firm, owned by Microsoft, is used by 50 million developers to store and update its coding projects. This is the latest in a campaign to remove such terms from software jargon. The master-slave relationship in technology usually refers to a system where one, the master, controls other copies or processes. The years-old campaign... Well, in this case, it's actually an apt comparison if you're talking, like, say, with a clustering system where you have a single node that's issuing workout to all it's usually provider and subscriber is what they try to replace master and slave with. But it's like, you know, yeah, you have the master system providing all the work to all the slave systems. Okay, I guarantee you, when the programmers were coming up with these terms, they weren't thinking in terms of, you know, historical slavery. A lot of these terms come from fantasy gaming. You know, they called database sharding because Ultima Online came up with the idea of how to split up databases, and they called them shards because it was Ultima Online. So I'm pretty sure most of these terms don't have that context in them. They've been assigned that context after the fact. You know,
yeah, they're a bunch of D&D nerds.
A lot of them were. Yeah. So, yeah. The years-old campaign to replace such terms has given fresh impetus amid the resurgence of Black Lives Matter protests in the United States. Mr. Friedman's announcement comes to in a Twitter reply to Google Chrome developer Una Kravitz, who said she would be happy to rename the master branch of the project to Maine. If it prevents even a single black person from feeling more isolated in the tech community, it feels like a no-brainer to me, she wrote.
I don't think any programmer didn't go into programming because of the master-slave terminology.
I mean, I could see somebody kind of getting a little twitchy over it if they're already kind of, you know, in that political headspace. But I can't recall a single instance of ever hearing anybody get upset over the master-slave terminology in any of the technology conferences or talks or classes or anything I've done.
Anybody who's worked their way through that level of education to get to that point in their life has pretty much given up that whole grievance politics bullshit, right? They've gone, you know what? I want to do this in this industry. That's it. They didn't get there through grievances.
Well, and, you know, historical context aside, for what the technology is actually doing, the master-slave terminology makes sense. I mean, it's like, okay, well, yeah, you have the master system dissing out work to all the slave systems. Hey, there it is. Okay. Because those systems are slaved to that node. I mean, it's not... I mean...
Oh, dude, you can sit here and explain it.
I mean...
It doesn't have moral culpability. We're talking about a computer.
Exactly.
There's nothing moral or immoral about a computer. It's not saying these slave computers are less of a computer. It's just being a fucking computer.
These programs have more in common with the clockwork gears in an old grandfather clock than they do Data from Star Trek. Believe me, it doesn't get offended when you call it a slave. And if it says it's offended, that's because somebody put the string into the computer and programmed it to say that. It doesn't feel it. And if you get somebody, and are you, you're right. If somebody has gotten to that point and they're going through the education, they're doing that kind of work, I think they're going to be able to say, okay, those are just words for these terms. You know, they want to change it to provider and subscriber or whatever.
I'm actually saying that they don't even have that diseased part in their fucking head. It wouldn't even occur to them to put one and two together to get all grievance. You know what I mean?
It's not going to be
part of their working doctrine.
Well, I mean, this is kind of like some of the stuff from Gamergate back in the day, right? Where it wasn't anybody involved in the games industry or the games culture bringing it up. It was somebody from the outside looking in, saw it, and got upset and said, oh, look how, you know. And, you know, it's the same thing with this programming term. It's like, oh, it's this years-old campaign. It's been going on. Well, it has been going on for a while. They push it every once in a while to try to get rid of master and slave when it comes to clustering terms. But...
But you're right. That is the whole problem right now with everything that's going on. It's people that have no fucking business being in these spaces complaining about shit that's been going like that for years.
And I don't even mean to get into like the gatekeeping aspect or any of that. It's like, no, it's just the words they're using. You know, if you want to have somebody have an argument about it, I guess, but...
I
guarantee most projects that are looking into this are either one, virtue signaling, or two, it's like, okay, fine, we don't care enough to argue with it, we'll do it just to make you go away.
But this is it. This is fucking gatekeeping bullshit. No, if I don't want you playing my fucking in my game, Like if we're having a D&D game and I've got my buddies there and we're doing a campaign and shit and you suddenly rock up and want to play, fuck off. You know, you're meant to be here 2 weeks ago on Friday to roll a character up. Sorry you didn't make it. Piss off. Doesn't make you a gatekeeper. It just makes you fucking... It's you and your game. You have the right to play the game the way you want to fucking play it and with who you want. Not everyone gets to be included. I don't know what the fuck. You know, and if you really want to be included, then maybe make the effort to become part of that group. Don't just walk in and demand to be fucking treated certain ways. You know...
Then... Master slave is actually more descriptive. Subscriber subscribee indicates will. You have to choose to be a subscriber. You have to actually come up with a product to sell to be a publisher.
Yeah. In recent years, several major projects have attempted to move away from such language, preferring phrases like replicas or similar terms over slaves. Although the terms continue to be commonly understood and used. That's just habit. I mean, seriously, the earliest clustering stuff, that's what they called it. Because you usually have one node of the cluster that elects itself the master, and then it starts handing out its work to all the slave systems. That's, you know, now sometimes they do an auto-negotiation, and it's a cluster of peers, but even then, you're still going to have one that becomes kind of the master. So...
Oh, remember when you had to do that with drives?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That you had master slave and cable select.
Absolutely. Hell, I still have to deal with that every once in a while. You get digging into an old system. Or try to get data off an old drive.
It's actually one thing that fucked me up, tripped me up when I first started doing computers.
It's like, wait, you've got two drives on
two
one
hard
table.
Drives?
What the fuck?
Yeah. Couldn't get it to work, couldn't figure out. You just click that little thing in the back so you see the two little white dots.
Yep. Let's see. Replicas over slaves. Okay, replicas doesn't make any sense. Because that's not describing the work they're doing. That might describe that, okay, they're all copies of the same program, but this article is written by a non-technical person is what I'm thinking. For example, Google's Chromium web browser project and Android operating system have both encouraged developers to avoid using the terms blacklist and whitelist for directories of those things that are explicitly banned or allowed. Oh my God.
They do know that the color thing has nothing to do with race.
I should walk into work tomorrow. Well, we're all still remote due to, everybody being under pandemic rules, contagion. Should get on the conference call tomorrow and be like, so I suggest we replace whitelist and blacklist because that's racist. I'd be laughed out of the room. Ask if I hit my head, especially because if it was me doing it. Chromium's documentation said calls for racially neutral language because terms such as blacklist and whitelist reinforce the notion that black equals bad and white equals good. It suggests the uses of blocklist and allowlist instead.
Oh, fuck off.
At least that one still makes sense with what they're talking about.
That one does make sense, and I could see... You're going to go after hackers next for white hat and black hat?
I have to learn a whole new language because you're fucking, it hurts your feelings. Is that what they're telling us to do?
Yes.
Their feelings are hurt, so I have to change my ways. Suck my dick. It's whitelist and blacklist. It'll be like that till the day I die.
And that's the natural progression of language. You don't change it, it just stops being used.
No. Despite the current resurgence, such arguments are not new. In 2003, Los Angeles County required hardware suppliers not to use the unacceptable terms and to find alternatives. But
unacceptable terms.
But the terms whitelist and blacklist go back to Westerns. The bad guys wore black hats.
That's...
Come on.
These people do not realize that most of this technology was built by people who are into, like, really weird shit. Like D&D, old Western movies, fucking...
Kung Fu movies and shit.
Yeah, yeah, they took these names from there. Because it was the one thing they all had in common.
Background processes on servers are called daemons because in D&D, wizards would summon daemons to do things for them. I mean, for God's sake, what's next? Get the religious iconography out of our servers. It's like, well, one, they spelled it daemon just to be funny. But two, I mean, it's like, come
That's also a Greek term for a being with secret knowledge.
Next thing they'll be calling to decolonize programming. Whatever the fuck that'll mean.
Dude, as many interviews as I've been on lately, it isn't colonized. I've had to wrap my head around so many Indian accents lately. And it's not racist. I'm just having a hard time understanding them.
Fuck. Dude, I feel
it's
your
a practical
pain.
Problem, okay?
I feel your pain. I like the dude. I've talked to the dude in all the time, my Indian guy at the pizza store.
I'm hiring one of the dudes.
He can't get his head around that there's a thing called a landline. Like a home phone number. Please be 1401. No. 3-2. Oh, 041. Ah, for fuck's sake. I'm trying.
The guy we're hiring, he kept saying walk instead of work. And I realized what he was talking about, it made more sense. But it kept sounding like he was talking about how he walked all over security projects. And he walked all over various other technology projects. And it's like, you know, trying to figure that out at first. And, of course, he had this very
thick
accent,
what I mean.
So
there has to be some give and take on both sides. They can't just be butt-fuck offended because we can't understand what they're saying. And the same way around. There has to be some fucking little bit of negotiation here. I'm sorry, Patet. You know, can you repeat yourself? I still didn't catch that. You know, like, we're working here. We're trying. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm getting better at it, but I mean, shit.
That's what I'm saying, man. There's going to be a learning curve to understanding each other. Like, my old boss was Scottish.
Sure.
And when he got going, I couldn't understand what he was saying. And, like, the dude spoke perfect English. It's just when he started talking quickly, I couldn't understand a fucking word. It was just the accent.
Welsh. Like, have you ever dealt with a Welsh accent?
No.
So, I played soccer as a kid, and our soccer coach was English, immigrant to the U.S. His parents came over, and I could understand him and his kid because they'd Americanized enough that their accent was gone. You could tell that they weren't, like, from the U.S., but it was still a very audible, noticeable, normal accent. His parents come over to visit, and I have to look at his kid to find out what the hell his dad said, even though he's supposed to be speaking English. I say it was a completely different fucking language.
Yeah.
But yeah, I understand the accent thing, even with the same language and supposedly similar cultures.
So, yeah, I can guarantee you, when most people are sitting there working on a programming project, when they're picking these names, they're either doing it because they think they're being clever or they just need to get a name on something quick so they can keep working with it because they've got to share the project in the next 20 minutes with, you know, somebody else on the team, right? So it needs a name. And so they're just going to either pick something quick and easy that makes sense to them in the moment, or they're going to pick something clever, you know, or something out of Lord of the Rings or whatever because they think they're being clever. And fine. That's just what it is. That I can promise you there are probably exceptions, but I doubt many of the major technology terms have any kind of racial connotation to them. So this whole...
And if they did, they don't now. Because the technology culture made that term their own.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So if you're saying slave and you're referring to a cluster of servers, you're not talking about a man being enslaved or even an ethnic group. You're thinking in that culture.
I'm referring to how that node receives work.
Yeah. I mean, you have both been in industries where jargon was a thing. You can sit down with a tradesman, have a completely normal conversation, speaking the correct language, and somebody that isn't in that trade can sit down and not know what the fuck they're talking about. Yep. Computers are the same way. Any specialized trade, once you get into jargon, it is almost a new language.
Well, I mean, that's where you get into the one screen, two movies kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So, anyways, let's move on. Next article is from CNN. CIA cyber weapons stolen in historic breach due to woefully lax security. Whoops.
So the tools to break into computers were stolen because somebody didn't secure the tools to break into computers.
Pretty much. The largest theft of data in CIA history happened because a specialized unit within the agency was so focused on building cyber weapons that an employee took advantage of woefully lax security and gave secret hacking tools to WikiLeaks, according to an internal report released on Tuesday. These hacking tools stolen in the breach, which occurred in 2016, came from its client. Yeah, we've talked about this before, but I love that now that they've done the analysis and figured it out. came from its clandestine center for cyber intelligence. The amount of data stolen is unknown, the memo said, but could be as much as 34 terabytes of data, equivalent to about... Wait. Enough people know what a terabyte is, you don't need to say equivalent to 2.2 billion pages of text. And also, it's not. Because most of that data was probably not human-readable text. Who wrote this? Where's the author's name? Zachary Cohen and Alex Marquette. Well, guys, you don't need to explain 2.2 billion pages of text.
Oh, I'm claiming it wasn't actually a security breach.
Yeah, the CIA this sounds like insider
let
threat.
This stuff out so they have plausible deniability on every hack they do. It wasn't us. Somebody's using our tools that were stolen in 2016. It was pick name of fall group now. Have the Jews been blamed for anything recently? If not, it was them.
Well, it's just I'm just losing my mind at the author feeling like they need to explain how much, you know, they lost when people routinely own hard drives that hold terabytes nowadays. I mean, come on.
Oh, I remember when that was a big number.
It kind of is. I mean, you know, most people do what? I've got like 10 in my file server. So, you know, whatever. But I'm just like, I love that. Oh, it's equivalent to however many pages of text. It's like, who do you think's reading this? I mean, the theft was revealed a year later in March 2017 when WikiLeaks published what it claimed was the largest trove of CIA documents dubbed Vault 7, detailing some of the agency's sophisticated cyber weapons, which was first reported by the Washington Post. That incident prompted a review by the CIA WikiLeaks Task Force, which submitted its findings in an October 2017 report to then-director Mike Pompeo and his deputy, who is now the director, Gina Haspel. In a damning admission, the authors write, "We failed to recognize or act in a coordinated fashion on warning signs that a person or persons with access to CIA classified information posed an unacceptable risk to national security." Yeah, this is called insider threat. While the CIA declined to comment on any specific report, agency spokesperson Timothy Barnett, Bart Barnett, told CNN, CIA works to incorporate best-in-class technologies to keep ahead of and defending against ever-evolving threats. So, if that's the case, why didn't you air-gap these things? Because that's the best practices when you're dealing with things of that level of security. Just saying.
But then I can't work on it from home.
That's right.
And I want to be able to work on this from home.
Oh, I see you've misunderstood what top secret means. So
but I have authorization. I'm not going to, you know, mark on you guys.
Oh, you have authorization. So you understand why that's a bad idea.
Yeah, but I need to be able to work on this from home. I'm the only one that's going to see this because I have authorization.
Yeah, that's usually how those conversations go. They're all dead, Dave. Anyways, the report released Tuesday is heavily redacted, but clearly states that the breach came as a result of a series of security shortcomings over years that too often prioritized creativity and collaboration at the expense of security. You can have creativity and collaboration with security. It just means you have a log of who's touching what, and you're making sure somebody actually needs access to things before you give it to them. And maybe, put a few controls on what to do with it. Maybe make sure they don't take it outside of the managed network. Just a thought. Okay, that makes sense now. In a press to meet growing and critical mission needs, CCI had prioritized building cyber weapons at the expense of securing their own systems. Day-to-day security practices had become woefully lax, the report said. The task force memo was released Tuesday by Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon on the Senate Intelligence Committee, who obtained an incomplete redacted version from the Justice Department. In a letter to the new Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, Wyden asked for more information about widespread cybersecurity problems across the intelligence community. The CIA report released by Wyden emphasized the agency didn't know the full extent of the damage because the CCI system, unlike other parts of the agency's IT systems, did not require user activity monitoring or other safeguards. Ah, yes, the special snowflake argument. This team over here is special and can't have security tools on their systems because that makes what they do too hard. No, I don't have that argument with developers every fucking day. It's like, oh, no, we should be allowed to view whatever we want on the internet. We're developers. We're special. Yep. How did you all get hacked? Well, it came from a developer's laptop. Huh, yeah, about that.
Wasn't my fault. You should have been doing the job.
And that's how that argument goes. That really is. They bitch and scream and cry and fight security policies every step of the way. And then when something happens, why did you let this happen? Yep. Yeah. This is why security people get really good at keeping emails. It's like, I got a whole folder full of CYA of people saying, we're not doing this. It's like, okay, here you go. I'm just tucking that away for when shit happens. And that's always fun to pull out when shit happens. So I've played that game a couple of times. It's always fun to see the color drain from people's faces. It's like, well, here's the email where you said we're not doing this. where I tried to fix it and you wouldn't let me. It's like, well, you should have made sure we understood the extent of the problem. Oh, you mean in this report where I detailed this exact thing? No, I haven't been in that situation a few times. Why do you ask?
How dare you use common sense?
This exact problem is never going to come up again.
Most of our sensitive cyber weapons were not compartmentalized. Users shared systems administrator level passwords, and there were no...
Wait, what?
Yep. Yep, you heard me.
So I had my boss's password?
Yep. Actually, you had.
Did I have the expense account?
I swear I'm not buying anything you wanted. There were no effective removable media controls, and historical data was available to users indefinitely. That's like security 101, man. It's like, what'd you do? Well, we were letting everybody run as local admin. Uh huh. Furthermore, CC, which means not only do you not know what people have done on these things, you don't know how long they've been doing it. Furthermore, CCI focused on building cyber weapons and neglected to also prepare mitigation packages if those tools were ever exposed, it adds. The materials published by WikiLeaks in 2017 suggested that the CIA had become part of the Globe's preeminent hacking operation, or had become the Globe's preeminent hacking operation, sneaking into high-tech phones and televisions to spy on people worldwide. Leaked information published by WikiLeaks as part of the Vault 7 series contained notes about how the agency allegedly targeted individuals through malware and physical hacking on devices including phones, computers, and TVs. To hide its operations, the CIA routinely adopted techniques that enabled its hackers to appear as if they were Russian, according to the documents published by WikiLeaks. U.S. officials who previously spoke to CIA... About what time did the DNC get hacked? About this time?
I wasn't faking being Russian. I had borscht for lunch.
Yeah, I had some of that red salad dressing. What?
I'm going to run a little prediction past you guys that Joe Biden's going to be attacked and hacked by the Russians, and WikiLeaks is going to be the evil guy again. I'm just making a prediction.
Well, I mean, it worked. You're going to see this. Why not?
Yep. You're going to see this.
U.S. officials who previously spoke to CNN about the incident emphasized that any intelligence collection used in these types of operations described in the documents is legal against overseas targets. The officials also cautioned that some of the material describes programs still under development by the intelligence community. At the time, WikiLeaks claimed that nearly all of the CIA's arsenal of privacy-breaching cyber weapons had been stolen, and the tools are potentially in the hands of criminals and foreign spies. Well, they're in the hands of everybody because most of them are up on GitHub. I mean, come on. Or in Pastebin. I was looking earlier for something I remember I saw but couldn't find it because I guess it got blamed off the one of the programming subreddits where somebody had posted a Pastebin of a Python script to scrape ThoughtHub for a specific user account. And one, I got to learn what ThoughtHub was, which was hilarious. But two, it was apparently because that one weird chick.
You know this is the internet. That does not narrow it down.
I cannot think of...
Zoe Quinn?
No.
Oh, the computer monitor boob lady?
That doesn't narrow it down.
The Chinese chick?
The girl with the braces and wears the elf ears and the pink wig all the time.
Oh, bath girl water.
Yeah, bathwater girl. Yeah, I can't think of her name.
I don't care to know her name.
It was that person's account, and the Python script was set to scrape on a regular basis.
Why?
Those images, and I thought it was hilarious. And I couldn't find it, so I guess it got blamed. But it was posted on Pastebin, because I guess nowhere else would take it. So, anyways. While the CIA task force responsible for the 2017 report made several recommendations to address these security failures, some lawmakers are still concerned that the intelligence community remains vulnerable to security breaches of this nature. The lax cybersecurity practices documented in the CIA's WikiLeaks task force report do not appear to be limited to just one part of the intelligence community, Wyden wrote, adding that it called the breach a wake-up call that presented the opportunity to right longstanding imbalances and lapses. 3 years after the report was submitted, the intelligence community is still lagging behind and has failed to adopt even the most basic cybersecurity technologies in widespread use elsewhere in the federal government, he said. That's not surprising. A lot of these intelligence agencies kind of create a...
Once we're doing something, that's the way we do it, period.
Well, I think the term is a milieu, right? They have their bubble. This is how we operate. This is how we go. You know, it's almost a click, right? And they don't see that as important, so they didn't enact it. Anyways... Yeah, the CIA's lax cybersecurity practices were also highlighted in federal court earlier this year during the trial of Joshua Schlott, ex-CIA employee who was accused of handing over reams of classified data to WikiLeaks in 2016. In October 2017, the CIA report was introduced as evidence during the trial, and Schultz's attorneys argued that the system's security was so poor that the information could have been accessed by a large number of employees. In March, a federal grand jury in New York failed to reach a verdict on whether Schultz did, in fact, give data to WikiLeaks. Prosecutors have said they intend to try Schultz again this year, according to the Washington Post. If they failed the first time, isn't that double jeopardy to try them again?
It depends on how they failed.
Yeah.
If it was a hung jury, then no. If it was found not guilty, then yes.
Maybe that's why they say failed as opposed to not, you know, found him not guilty. You know, the jury just came back and gave a non-committal shrug. I could
see
that.
Hung juries, depending on the charges, can also result in another trial.
So, anyways, I just think it's hilarious that, you know, these high-end government agencies, they're operating just like everywhere else. And that's the thing, right? You know, you get this idea in your head, oh, these are these high-end banks and government agencies and all this stuff. They wouldn't be following these stupid security practices like everybody else. No. They're using the same Windows networks. They're using the same software, and they've got the same problem of understaffing your IT and security teams to the point that they can't do it correctly because, you know, when you try, it slows everything down, and you have that exact, you know, conversation Madman and I were mocking earlier. It's like, I want to work on it from home, on my personal laptop, because I like my MacBook better than the IBM machine you gave me. And actually, as old as machines they might be handing out are, they might still actually be an IBM ThinkPad, not a Lenovo. And if you get that joke, you're as big a nerd as I am. Anyways.
The IBM hard block. Remember those ones? They were good.
Yeah.
You could beat a man to death with that thing and still log on.
Toshiba makes a line of Toughbooks that you can do that with. And those were mil-spec for a while. I don't know if they're still making them up to date, though. The last time I saw it was a Core 2 Duo. So,
I mean, at that point, it's a multi-tool. It's a weapon.
Weapon, bullet shield,
yo.
Windows XP laptop, you know. Okay, next one up is from PRNewsWire.com. People are worth $1,285 on the dark web. New study by Privacy Affairs finds. Of course,
I can buy peoples.
I overpaid again.
God. Oh no! I bet we can part them. How much are kidneys for the dark web?
Depends on which site you're on.
Oh.
So this is, you know, credit card details, online banking logins, and social media credentials are available on the dark web at worryingly low prices. Researchers at a privacy website, privacyaffairs.com, collected examples of, or hundreds of examples of such data being sold as part of their dark web price index.
Online, oh, people's credit, that's not people.
Online banking login costs an average of $35. Full credit card details, including associated data, cost $12 to $20. A full range of documents and account details allowing identity theft. So this is like everything you need to become this person. $1,500.
You know why it's so cheap? There's so much of it out there.
Supply.
Oversupplied right now.
I wonder which credit reporting agency may be responsible for this glut in the market.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know if Equifax may have anything to do with the supply problem.
No, not Equifax. Jeez, don't pull that out of the memory hole.
Well, here's the table from Privacy Affairs. U.S. driver's licenses of average quality, $70. U.S. driver's licenses with high quality, you know, so like a really high-end scan, $550. Auto insurance card, $70. AAA emergency card. The AAA road service is $70. Why would you buy a fake? Why would you buy somebody else's AAA?
I mean, what's AAA cost a year?
It's like, it's not that much.
I'm looking it up.
Why would you pay it instead of, you know, using someone else's. They don't check when they get there.
I know. Wells Fargo bank statement, $25. Wells Fargo bank statement with transactions, $80. Rutgers State University ID card, $70. U.S., Canada, or European passport, $1,500. European national ID card, $550. I believe it, too. I mean, you know, you want to do the you want to do the whole James Bond or Jason Bourne thing where you just have a suitcase full of passports and driver's license. I mean, you can do it. There it is.
Okay, paying by the month, right, for AAA. Yeah, depending on your vehicle, it'll be between $6 and $21 a month.
Yeah, so why would you pay $70 to get somebody else's AAA? I guess
you'd have to be driving a shit box.
That, or if you're going for the, you know, if you're ghosting, if you're doing the full, I am this person now, I'm taking over this identity. You know, yeah. Even the AAA card could be.
Would that work towards points of identity?
I don't know. I mean, if you're rifling through somebody's wallet and you find the AAA card with the matching name on it, you're really not questioning at that point, because who would bother, you know, fucking forging a AAA card, right? So,
yeah.
So I guess if you're just going for that many, you know, as many points of identity as you could. Online banking credentials typically include login information as well as the name and address of the account holder and specific details of how to access the account undetected. Credit card details are usually formatted as a simple code that includes card number, associated dates, CVV, along with account holder's data such as address, zip code. It's usually the identifier string off the card is what it usually is. You know, the two or three lines where if you were to read the card in a reader.
Anyways. Yeah.
Full range of documents and account details can for identity theft can be obtained for $1,285. So that's where they've added it up to get the stolen bank details, the high-quality driver's license, the auto insurance card, the bank statement, and the European national. Why would you buy a U.S. driver's license and a European ID card and then say it's $1,000? So the thing is, they've got that number for their headline by just adding some of these things together.
Yeah.
And a couple of them don't make sense. Why would you buy a U.S. driver's license and a European national ID card?
Oh, do they have the same name?
Supposedly, I guess. I guess you could be a European who's multinational.
Our driver's licenses are issued by states. So you'd have a federal ID and a state ID.
So
the federal ID would be, you know, whatever country you're saying you're actually from.
Yeah, they're saying most of this stuff comes from malware installs getting, you know, stolen data, but I don't know. I just thought it was interesting to see the prices. I don't watch the dark web stuff nearly as much as I used to back in the day, so.
But yeah, when I was hearing people, I'm like, they're selling slaves? We might want to part these guys out and start making some money if I were evil.
Dude, you can pick yourself up the cheap woman in Libya.
Hey, that's how you can celebrate Juneteenth, madman. Go pick you up somebody in Libya.
And free them.
Oh, yeah, but then that'd be kind of like, how much is an organ worth? Can I get livers? I mean, if they're alive, you can part them all out.
Look, madman, I think it's not within the spirit to part your slave out while freeing them.
It's like, hey, you're free. You're a shell of your former self and essentially confined to a wheelchair for the next 20 days that you're going to live. But, you know, hey, you're free.
Well, you don't need to take the whole liver. I mean, just a lobe will regenerate someone's liver, and then you can live on dialysis for a long time. So you really need both those kidneys.
Well, if you essentially kidnapped somebody from Libya, brought them to the United States and freed them, do you think they're going to know that they need dialysis or how to get it?
I'll leave them a note.
Just says, go to doctor. Just in scribbled Sharpie, go to doctor.
I might even leave them some money for Uber. Fuck them. Think of what you're able to sell them out for. I could be... Oh... The joke's gone too far. I'm sorry. I should burn it now for that. people are people no matter where you buy them from.
last article is from Wired. Bot mafias have wreaked havoc in World of Warcraft Classic.
Let me reactivate that.
Bots are terrorizing World of Warcraft Classic servers, stealing precious resources, monopolizing rare monsters, and inflating the virtual economy with truckloads of illicitly earned gold. Today, WoW Classic developer Blizzard Entertainment announced it had suspended or closed over 74,000 World of Warcraft Classic accounts in the last month, many of which were automating gameplay with bots. For months, clusters of bot-driven accounts have... Well, yeah, they could break out the old bots they wrote 10 years ago. For months, clusters of bot-driven accounts have trawled across high-level zones, attacking monsters with uncanny precision before rotating towards their next target in robotic 90-degree angles. These in-game characters are operated by scripts programmed to optimally kill monsters and obtain rare, valuable items that drop from them. Lately, they've been targeting the sought-after Black Lotus, a necessary item for some competitive high-level play. World of Warcraft Classic is a punishing game by design, hearkening back to the early days of World of Warcraft. It boasts little of the expediency that defines modern massive multiplayer online role-playing games, as everything is intentionally a slow grind. To obtain a Black Lotus, players had to identify the specific spots where they spawn and camp there for between 45 and 75 minutes, waiting and warding off any competitors. For the last several months, when human-run characters attempted to muscle their way into the mix, coordinated groups of bots threatened them or closed ranks around the flower. So in late May, Lochnar, a player who plays a healing priest in WoW Classic, but still tries to kill bots whenever he sees them, decided to hold an anti-bot protest in the game city of Akram. They're holding a protest in World of Warcraft against bots.
Why didn't they just get together and go slaughter every bot they could find? Well, that would have been a better...
Or go on the dark web and just hire somebody to DDoS the shit out of them. I mean, there were over 50 people doing a walk line and yelling, says Lochnar. He was trying to draw attention to the issue, asking passers-by not to buy the Black Lotuses that the bots put on the auction house at an inflated 300 gold. The normal price of most servers, he says, is about half that. Lochnar made a racket, but the mafia knew how to shut him up. The bots mass-reported him to publisher Blizzard for abusive chat. Blizzard muted Lochnar's account and those of other protester participants for 24 hours. In the meantime...
Well played, Blizzard. Fuck.
In the meantime, the bots got to get their Black Lotuses to the auction house where they maintained their monopoly. Whether they're a mafia, whether they're a crime mod, whether they're a syndicate, whether they're Illuminati, whatever metaphor you want to use for them, the end result is the players are getting fucked, says World of Warcraft Twitch streamer Asmogold. They're completely arrogant about it. They advertise the services they're going to do, and they're hacking while they perform their services. Dozens of websites easily found on Google sell code or services that automate a World of Warcraft Classic experience. Some individual players pay to hand their accounts over to a bot to level up their characters in the slow, meditative game while they're at their day jobs or snoozing. Others turn a profit by automating groups of accounts that kill specific monsters and farm specific resources to earn mass amounts of in-game gold. Some use game-breaking techniques to gain an edge, like flying in the air and massacring rare monsters that can't fight back. Then they round up the goods. Bots attack the integrity of WoW Classic, blah, 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 blah. So... Yeah, they're going nuts with the bots in there, and Blizzard's apparently not doing that much about it. And, you know.
Blizzard's a shit company anyway, with its fucking mouth firmly planted on Chinese dick.
I mean, you know, gold farming's a thing. I just don't get why Blizzard doesn't just go the Second Life route and just flat out let people buy gold for cash.
Put it into the bot. They do in the not classic version.
Maybe that's why they're back. Because back in the day, they certainly didn't. So,
yeah, classic you can't. But if you were playing the modern WoW, you can buy gold from Blizzard.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you shut the bot farms down, is you have a legitimate supply, so nobody needs to go to the Chinese suppliers.
What happens is you can actually buy game time with in-game gold, and it gives you a token that you throw in the auction house, and pretty much people bid on that token with actual cash. So you're converting your extra gold into game time via the auction system.
So there's no way to actually get cash back out of it, which is why the bot farmers are doing what they're doing, is because then it's a direct payment, so they actually have cash out of the system.
Yeah. But if you played any of the later versions of WoW, they made making gold so easy that everything either got super inflated or you just didn't bother with it.
Well, if you're looking to, if you're wanting to write your own World of Warcraft bot, look into a platform called AutoIt. It's a Windows automation scripting language, and we used it a lot for automating some stuff at work. But
I hate bots.
I think it was Static who was showing me some of the bot stuff, and it's like, I realized most of the bots are written in AutoIt. So, you know, if you're going to run a bot, at least be cool and, like, write your own.
I hate bots and botters. Like, fuck all of them.
I don't know why you just don't get together with a heap of people for a couple of hours and just start massacring the motherfuckers.
Oh, I have. I've gone on raids to kill people.
In World of Warcraft.
use whatever you want.
In Warcraft.
In Minecraft, yeah, you totally done that. so
yeah, I used to go hunt Starsky and Hutch all the time. I hate those bastards. Feel free to try to track me down with that. They're on four different servers.
Anyways, let's move on so we can wrap things up. Only got one thing for you tonight in Digital Dojo, and that is a Kubernetes, it's a hacking exercise. It's called Kubernetes GOAT. And what this thing is it's a collection of exercises and a set of Kubernetes images, container images, that you can set up your own environment in and then run through the exercises to learn security in this containerized environment. And since that's where a lot of your enterprise development is moving, is into containers, it's a good thing to practice, a good thing to know. And I thought it was an interesting thing, something maybe not this weekend, but I plan on playing with this at some point. So, anyways. But that's all I've really got for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit. In the IRC tonight, we have myself, Sardonyx, Cyber Dystopia, Psychros, DPView, The Coffee Maker, and Madman. Madman, closing thoughts.
Bots and botters should both be hung.
All right. Are you? Closing thoughts.
It's, I don't know, Al 1000 on watching America fall right now. This shit is just driving me fucking insane. And I wonder if the Atlanta police are back working yet. Because that was an absolute shit show last night.
Oh, no. The blue flu usually lasts for a week when it kicks up.
And I'm pretty sure the New York Police Department are going to go on strike on 4th of July. Good luck, New York. It is going to be an interesting 4th.
It's not the strike. It's the flu.
Well, you know what I mean.
Either way,
striking is illegal.
Yeah, good luck, everybody.
Oh, I probably...
Oh, should. No, wait a minute. It's not the flu. It's coronavirus.
I should try to go pick up some more 9mm just in case. It's probably gone everywhere, isn't it?
I think your ship sailed on that one, but yeah. Good luck if you can, man.
Can you buy ammo online?
Don't know.
I've never tried.
I've never
tried.
Don't
have firearm.
I bought, you know, several gun parts online, but I've never bought ammo.
It's age restricted.
Shouldn't you be able to buy like surplus and stuff?
Yeah, but you still usually have to go through a dealer.
You might be able to order a case and then pick it up at a gun store.
Oh, that'd be
weird. Yeah, there you go.
Assuming they wouldn't part it out and sell it and say, oh, sorry, you never showed up.
Nah, most gun store owners are pretty honest.
They wouldn't. Let's see.
Yeah, but I think your boat sailed on all of that.
Yeah, probably.
If you didn't see this,
some, but,
if you didn't see this coming, you haven't been paying attention. All I can say.
Let's see.
Well, I'm able to kill some people or pepper them up nicely, depending on when they show up in the front door.
In Minecraft.
In Minecraft.
No, there's real riots going on. We're not really talking about Minecraft anymore.
I just like, watched another statue get removed.
Do you get birdshot, buckshot, or the hollow point slug?
Damn. Ammo is not cheap right now.
Supply and demand, my friend.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. I was looking at very large boxes. That's what's throwing me.
Stay sensible, everyone. Don't stay safe. Stay sensible.
In all seriousness, if you can hide instead of having to fight back, it's probably better to hide. But if you have
but
to fight
cower.
Back.
Don't
cower. Yeah.
Don't cower.
If you have to fight back, fight back.
Is this the hill you're willing to die on?
Is Lenin and Mao still up?
The statues?
In Washington, there are actually statues of Lenin, Mao, and Che Guevara.
Yeah, they're under armed guard.
But those are the ones that you should topple.
I know, right? It is what it is, man. Fucking 80 years. All of them. Play the sounds.
I'm hungry.
I want to go to lunch.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Down to go nose down and
shut up, Wesley.